Hey, it's Trevor Graham from Revenue Hub. Today we're joined by Nikki Vanderbroek, Manager of Business Development at Get Into More. Today we discuss elements of a white paper Get Into More have put together called Navigating Uncertainty, which looks at meetings and event sales and revenue management. During the discussion, we touch on what are the certain factors we do know and what are the uncertain factors we need to keep constantly in mind, posing the question, is this the new normal or the temporary abnormal? Nikki then outlines five key principles touching on the customer, data, and value proposition, before finally talking us through the free Get Into More survival pack they are offering to hotels. Anyway, hope you enjoy it. Let's get started. Hi, Nikki. Great to have you join us again. How are things with you?
Hello, Trevor. Great to be here. Well, things are good today.
Excellent.
Things are good.
Excellent. Always good to hear. Now, we've got you on today because you guys at Get Into More have recently published a white paper called Navigating Uncertainty, a white paper for meetings and events, sales and revenue management. So we thought it would be good to have you guys join us, talk through some of the factors you're seeing and some of the core principles you highlight to guide the way forward. But before we start, probably just makes sense for those who haven't seen any of our other videos or listened to our podcast, if you could just give us a brief introduction, that would be brilliant.
Of course. So my name is Nikki Vanderbroek. I'm responsible for all things commercial at Get Into More. I joined the company at the very, very start 3 years ago. Haven't had a dull day since. Before that, I was involved in meetings and event sales. So I got some hotel sales experience as well. And about Get Into More, well, we are a business intelligence tool that focuses on meetings, events, and group business because we really think it's an important revenue stream. It's a big part of the pie. And too often we see that all time and energy goes to rooms revenue management, which is, of course, an important topic as well. But why not try to look at it at a total revenue management kind of way?
Yeah, good point. Good point. And we actually, just for a plug, obviously we've done a recent interview with you and Petter as well, looking at the MySpace and what's been going on.
Yes.
And we talk about MICE revenue and how it's not ancillary, and maybe we should be looking at it in the entirety. So we'll make sure there's a link back to that as well, so people can look at that conversation.
Great idea.
Anyway, let's get into the white paper. So we're in pretty uncertain times, should I say? But you highlight that there are some certain factors that need to be kept into consideration when working in these difficult situations. So do you want to just take us through what you've identified in both kind of certain and uncertain factors that you've highlighted in the white paper?
Yeah, sure. So I think, well, before we start even, it's really important to say that we need to be aware about all of the things that are uncertain. I think over the past few months, we've seen a lot of podcasts and webinars, and there was a lot of information, but also, even though it was produced probably with good intentions, many of them have already lost relevance.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because we're really trying to look for certainty in an uncertain time.
Yeah.
So our take on this is like, know what you know, but also know what you don't know. And that's the idea behind today's podcast.
That's
really
a good point.
Yeah. So luckily for us, there are some certain factors as well. And I think a first one to highlight for meetings and events is that we will see domestic coming back before international. Mm-hmm. Because probably confidence about the likelihood of your event taking place is a really important factor right now. And people do have more confidence, I think, in taking cars.
Yep.
and doing things in a drivable distance rather than hopping on planes like we did before.
Yeah.
And well, as a result of knowing that domestic will come back before international, well, you also know where your sales teams can go looking for leads and which marketing campaigns, for instance, to execute right now.
Yeah, they can be more targeted.
Exactly, yep. Exactly.
Yep.
Now, another one would be that your events are smaller in size right now.
Sure.
We see that with all of our customers the event sizes, whereas before they were doing huge conferences with more than 300 people. Currently, I think the largest events we see are about 50 people.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, about 50. And the big majority of events is around 10 people, 15 people meeting.
Okay, that's quite a difference then, isn't it?
That is a huge difference. Of course, it could be that we have some people joining in, but then virtually.
Sure.
So yeah. Those are also attendees,
yes.
But they're just not there.
Yeah, that physical presence.
Yeah, not physically. And of course, well, one of the things that plays a big part in this topic is that we have social distance practices in place, and many countries also have regulations around maximum attendee sizes.
Yeah,
so
good point.
We really can't work around it.
Yeah.
So looking forward, of course, to enlarging those groups again. But as we're coming back from almost no demand, I think it's very likely now also, even, well, if you are in a country where they allow larger meetings, mm-hmm. you're very likely to want to accept any meeting that comes to your hotel or venue.
Yeah.
And that's very different than the story that we were spreading before, to be like very selective in which meetings to accept or which inquiries to hold on for better mm-hmm. or more profitable events.
Yeah.
Like currently, you're pretty likely to want to accept anything, but we do look out for a time to be selective again.
Yeah.
Because of course, well, even though everything is smaller now, even in smaller, you have larger and smaller. Like a way how I like to look at it is, like before all of this, we were in boats on the ocean and we were looking for whales, the really big fish.
Yeah.
That's the conferences, we're like fishing for whales.
Yeah.
And in current times, we are no longer on the ocean. Our boats have moved to a lake.
Right.
But even in a lake, you have larger and smaller fish.
Yep.
And of course, you should always try to catch the biggest fish.
That's a good point.
My third point is around budgets mm-hmm. of our organizer and our planners. Current health crisis is affecting numerous industries. And unfortunately, this also means that some of our clients and planners' budgets will also be affected. Mm. And this might leave you with lower funds to work with. So more than ever, it's important to tear down the walls between revenue management, sales, and operations to really involve or understand the cost involved in all of the different packages, the setups, and the offerings. I think later on, when we go to the principles, we'll talk a bit about the value thermometer. That's a really good guideline to help you with smaller budgets.
Right, that makes sense. Because when you were saying before, you know, there was the previously you were looking at choosing what's the most profitable business, and now maybe that's not quite the same now. But also, there is that need to understand the cost implications of that group and being able to support that group to make sure that even if you're not making huge profit, you don't want to be losing money at the moment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So understanding bottom line is more important than ever, I would say.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Another one, and yeah, this one, I guess, should probably not even discuss it very, very deeply, but safety is a number one priority for everyone right now. Like if you have a look or take a look at TripAdvisor, Booking.com, and anything where you can find reviews, almost all reviews since March have a point to make about safety. So it being good, it being not so good. So also for your meeting organizers and planners, make sure that everyone feels safe and that you also communicate what you are doing for safe meeting. Like some of the good things we've seen also is that some companies that have a really trustable relationship with a hotel, they actually decide to no longer host any meetings at the company, but to move all meetings to a hotel.
Okay.
Where there are some like very strict safety protocols mm-hmm. and processes in place. Mm-hmm. So if you play it wisely, this could even be a unique selling point or something to use in your benefit.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because I guess there is a responsibility on companies for their employees around their health and their safety.
Exactly.
But getting a corporate organization set up to cater for that is time and expense that it may be cheaper for them to utilize a hotel who already have got those procedures in place. Yeah, you're right. Good selling point could be used.
Final point that we know for sure is that everyone is in the same boat. So while all of this is extremely challenging and it's frustrating at times, everyone is presented with the same reality. So try to gain a competitive advantage by being one step ahead of everyone, play short on the ball, and keep all relevant data at your fingertips, I would say.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. And it is easy to feel, I'm going to use the dreadful word, isolated in these times, but it is easy to look at it and become introspective and think, oh, we're having a really tough time. And it doesn't help that others are also having a tough time, but no, we aren't on our own. Everyone is going through this, and you've just got to try and keep moving forward, really, isn't it? Which is easier said than done sometimes. But
exactly.
But I mean, as you say, there are those certain factors. But there, as you say, it's knowing what you know, but also knowing what you don't know. So what are the bits that we have to try and anticipate that maybe aren't quite so certain?
Yeah. Well, first one, I think the million-dollar question right now is, when will all of this be over?
Yeah.
Timing. Yeah. Very uncertain about timing. And well, early March, recovery was predicted for June, and then June came. We said, well, by September, everything could be back to normal. Now September has passed, and look where we are.
Yeah.
So luckily, we see some signs of recovery, but definitely not the volumes we're used to. And we've also learned that even though things are moving up, they can go down easily again as well.
Yeah.
So that's something we're really uncertain about, I would say.
Yes.
Now, secondly, the type of events. Now, which type of events will be organized in the future? Will it be corporate meetings or product launches or office meetings, maybe, as we talked about before, from companies nearby that want to sit together for 4 hours? Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of talk about hybrid events and meetings where you combine the in-person meeting with a virtual audience. And I also think that time will tell if these events will really become successful.
Yeah, and I think, and you make a good point. And in terms of, it kind of links in with the timing, because each country is tackling this in different ways. I read something this morning. I think it was Switzerland are now opening up and will allow up to 1,000 people at an event. I think I read that right. Forgive me if I've got that wrong.
What a difference.
Exactly. Suddenly, and that makes, and so if you have a hotel, I didn't look at all the details, but assuming it plays into the hands of these broader events as well, you suddenly become, it suddenly opens up an opportunity for you to try and create a bit of demand in that area.
Yeah.
If that's at all possible. So you're right, that timing and type of event is a continual moving situation, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah. What I also think, or what I think is very likely, that you will see big corporations establishing their own sort of protocols around safety.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what you see is indeed that every country has different ideas around how to meet safely. So also, again, communicate with your organizers and make sure that you're doing everything according to their plan or their expectations.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Anything else in and around those uncertainties?
Yeah. Yeah. One final point, and that's around customer behavior.
Okay.
Now, which behavior and new customs will stick for the long run? And in other words, like, is this the new normal or is it a temporary abnormal?
Okay, that's yeah, interesting.
So,
yeah, yeah.
So quite uncertain. What do you think, Trevor?
I think we are creatures of habit. And I think there will be some degree of change, but I don't think it will be as marked a change as some people are believing it will be. Yeah. I think we are social creatures that desire, I think, and that's only increasing as we spend more time apart from each other. So I actually think once there is some kind of medical cure or vaccine for this, I think what will happen is there will be a rush to want to get back and meet with people. Mm-hmm. And in which instance, I think that potentially will reinforce how much we used to enjoy that. So there will be, we'll almost go back to the old normal for a period, because, where we'll all don't want to do another single Zoom contact again. But then I think there will be a period of adjustment where we then recognize there were some efficiencies came out of not traveling around the world all the time as well. And the environmental impacts, I think, will also come into play as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I agree with you on that. I think in the beginning, when everyone started to discovering the options or opportunities you had with Zoom meetings and so on, many hotels were worried that this would completely erase the needs for in-person meetings. Now, Zoom is good for like short discussions or some operational things you want to discuss. But once it comes to being creative, strategic, and so on, you really need that in-person interaction. So I'm not too worried about that.
No, I think it's a short term. And again, it comes back to your point that you said, you know, in March we were looking at June. So people were looking at it and thinking, okay, is this going to embed itself and everything's going to change in 3 months' time? The fact that it's gone on longer, I think, has reinforced the fact that, yes, we like to meet people. And I think as, just what I said before.
Exactly. But so now that we know what we don't know, it's time for a plan. And we came up with 5 key principles to help you guide your decision-making process in these uncertain times. Because, well, let's highlight this, a decision-making process in uncertain times, because like sometimes it can feel very overwhelming, especially since this health crisis is not only affecting our work, but also our personal life. Yeah. So it's very easy, or it might be a very human response to just like sit around and wait for it to be over and don't do anything. Of course, that could be very harmful for your organization or your business right now as well.
Oh, absolutely.
So we do need like some sort of guidelines to make decisions, but of course, in this uncertain time frame we're in. So we came up with 5 principles, actually.
Okay. Let's go through those then. So let's start with principle number one. What is principle number one?
It's always good to start with one.
I think
the first principle is to be extremely customer-centric.
Go on then.
Be extremely customer-centric. Who are your customers? What are their needs? Have the needs changed maybe? Probably. And how can we best address the needs of our customers in this new reality? Now, the questions I've just asked, they might sound or feel a bit like a revisit of your very first lesson in sales and marketing. it might sound a bit obvious, but formulating answers to them is a very thoughtful process, and it's the very basis of what we're doing. So principle one, not to be forgotten, is to be very customer-centric.
No, good point. And I think you're right. Some of the questions, they do sound a bit basic, but we're in a different time. We need to get back to some basics at the moment. Okay. So principle number two.
It's know your data.
Okay. That magic 4-letter word, data.
Data. Very tied, of course, to what we do at Get Into More, helping our customers with everything related to data, understanding data, and so on. But relying on business as usual and taking decisions based on gut feeling is something from the past.
Yeah.
None of us has experienced anything like this before. I certainly hope we will never have to experience something like this again. But it really makes it impossible for us to rely on previous experience or gut feeling to rely on. So given we are presented with a lot of uncertainty, the only thing we can do is to play short on the ball, and a data-driven approach will enable you to recognize new patterns and trends in your data. Now, of course, data is a very large word. So what should you look at then, right?
Yep.
Well, I have 4 data points that I find super interesting right now to closely monitor, of course. So first off, segmentation. Like, who are you targeting? Who is willing to book or organize right now? And we've seen examples of hotels that are usually very business focused successfully enter a leisure market. The practice of remote teams with entire companies working from home also led to the birth of a new segment that you maybe could call office or something.
Okay.
So like really investigate segmentation and see what's happening there.
Yeah, good point.
The second one would be to think about your feeder markets. We've already touched on this with, looking or thinking more locally than you did before, but we currently see a lot of local business look out for changes in the feeder market and think about those drivable distances.
Yeah, good point.
As a third point, the event types. So which event types or which types of inquiries are you getting? If you represent a hotel or venue that's always seen interest from your larger conferences, you're now missing that event type. So what are you seeing coming in and how could you optimize those smaller meetings maybe?
Yeah.
And then a final point that we've always found super interesting is lead time.
Okay.
So building strategies on historic data is very difficult nowadays. I was really looking forward to leaving September behind us because now we have a first business month again that we can use for reference for October. Then October will pass and we can use October for November and so on. We also see that lead times have become extremely short, of course, because of all of this uncertainty. And also because, smaller events or smaller inquiries always have a shorter lead time.
Yeah, no, very good point. And I think there are four key elements that again, I think what you've emphasized is that these are areas that will be familiar to people, much like the questions that you were saying we need to ask ourselves.
Yeah.
But it's about just going back, just checking, asking yourself the question and make sure that we're not assuming and not overlooking the fundamentals of what we need to be doing. Now, I think there's some solid points in those first two principles. So then we're into principle number three.
We are. Principle three is knowing your value proposition.
Value proposition. Okay.
Yeah. Your value proposition is something you can easily demonstrate using the principle of the value thermometer. Trevor, do you mind helping me out?
I'll help you out. So this is a value thermometer.
Yes. So Trevor, do you enjoy drinking coffee?
I love drinking coffee.
Great, me too. So let's assume I have a coffee shop, like not a Dutch coffee shop, but a normal coffee shop.
Okay.
Like a Starbucks kind of coffee shop.
Other coffee shops are available.
Yeah. So let's assume I am selling coffee. Mm-hmm. And I know that my cost of the coffee is around 50 cents for a cup.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what would you be willing to pay in a coffee shop for a coffee, Trevor? Reasonable.
Reasonable amount. Well, we tend to, it costs us roughly £3.20 for a coffee.
Yeah. Sounds reasonable. Mm-hmm. So that already leaves me with a margin, right?
Yep.
On my cost.
Yep.
So that's great. But now let's say that after you've tried the coffee, it was one of the best coffees you've ever had. The sun was shining. I offered you a lovely terrace to sit on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, could I charge a bit more for my coffee? Or what would you then, how would you value that coffee? Could it be more expensive?
That's actually an interesting question. Yes, there is certainly an opportunity there. I guess it comes back to some of the points you mentioned before in terms of knowing who your customer is, because I guess if they're taking away, it probably doesn't have the same value. But if you can create the right environment, I could see why you could charge a bit more for that.
Yeah, it could easily go up maybe €1 extra or maybe two even.
Mm-hmm.
Without that customer feeling robbed, without still fitting in the idea of a perceived value that is good for that company.
Yeah.
So something that we do with our meetings and events, like in a way we are selling a table and four chairs. We're selling a meeting. But there's some add-ons that we can put in that package that add to the perceived value after the meeting. And as we know, that budget might shrink a bit from our organizers and that the customer's needs have also changed. So probably you're going to have to make some investments on those safety measures.
Mm-hmm.
Like whatever you do, and when you're thinking about taking out things from your offering, try to take out the things that add as little as possible to the perceived value after the meeting.
Makes sense. Can you give, do you have examples of that or?
Yeah, simple things. But for instance, I've been at meetings with very extensive coffee breaks. Maybe we don't need like 4 different types of cakes mm-hmm. during a coffee break. So maybe that's something where you could save a bit.
Yeah.
Or like those little mints that you get prepackaged during the meeting. Things like that.
Yeah, but it's not adding value.
Not really.
But it's a cost.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
That makes sense. Okay, very good. That leads us to principle 4. This is a good one. Go on. What's principle 4?
Keep it real.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keep it real. Previous principles have really encouraged us to think about our hotels and venues, about customers' experience, about adding perceived value. And principle 4 presents a reality check, and it really wants to frame the future ideas into individual realities.
Yeah.
What is manageable for operations? What is manageable financially? Does it fit in the company culture, what we're trying to do here? And are there any structural concerns maybe that we have? So let's say that principle 1 and 3 were principles to make you dream a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Principle 4 is pulling you back to the ground and giving that reality check.
And probably tied in with principle 2, which is around your data, and the data will tell you what the reality is. So,
yeah definitely.
No, very good.
Definitely.
Good point. And so the last one, you said there were 5 principles. So that brings us to principle 5. What is that one?
Principle 5 is to be ready to change it all again.
So, knowing what's coming, I shouldn't laugh, but having just got us into a process and now we might have to change all again.
Yeah. So it is a process, like see it as a circle maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it's not going to be finished.
Yep.
Recovery will not happen overnight. It's going to be a gradual process with ups and downs. So it's best to take everything day by day, week by week, and month by month. It's also what we do at Get Into More currently, because of course we're also in this, in this same climate working. Base your strategies and your tactics on latest data and insights you have available. And when analyzing closely, you'll discover new trends that will urge you to take action and change it all again.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I think, again, it's one of the... Again, I'm repeating what we said earlier, that some of these things will sound quite basic, back to basics. Yeah. But they are, and they are important. But it's also then important to say, well, you don't just do this once. These are questions you should be asking yourself, maybe on a monthly basis, just to see what has changed, because there are so many variables that would influence the data, the segmentation, the events that can or can't occur, and how you need to adjust accordingly. And that feeds back into your 5th point, which is be ready to continually adapt and change based on the information in front of you.
And to add to that, I think even more importantly, it is an ongoing exercise, and you'll need to do it more than once, but also with more than one person. This is really a team effort, and you'll have the best results if everyone is involved.
Yeah.
Because like break down the silos and see how sales, revenue management, and operations work towards that common goal. And that is like getting us out of this in the best possible way.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Okay, great. So I mean they were the 5 principles. We will make sure that we've got the link down below in the description so that people can go in and download the white paper. And brilliant to have the chance to go through that with you. Before we wrap this up, though, I think there's also you guys have had an initiative running for a number of months, and I know we mentioned it in March, but also we want to re-emphasize it. So you've got a survival pack that you guys have, an initiative that you guys have put together. Can you just tell us a bit about that, just as a refresher for people out there?
Sure. So principle 2, for example, was all about having your data close to you and using that data to take data-driven decisions to enable you to move forward. And what we did when we saw COVID happening is we came up with a meeting survival pack. Mm-hmm. And this meeting survival pack actually gives the 3 or 4 most important dashboards of our tool free of charge to anyone who wants to use it actually until the end of the year.
Brilliant.
So that's our way of supporting hotels, well, in the way we know best, giving them free access to their own internal data so they can discover those new patterns and strategize on them.
Yeah, I think that's, yes, we're biased because you're a great partner to have with us and we enjoy the conversations that we have. Mm-hmm. But you know, putting that aside, we are now actually in a position, as you rightly said, where things are changing, meetings are going on, there is some domestic demand, there are flexibilities and corporates coming back. So never a better time, particularly when something is free, to start getting the data, find out what is going on to help you to make those strategic decisions. So we fully back that initiative and great that you guys are still providing it. And that's why we want to just make sure we emphasized it before we move on. But again, repeating myself, always great to speak with you. Super to have the chance to talk through the white paper. We'll make sure the links are there. We'll make sure there's a link through for the survival pack as well, so people know where they can reach out and connect with you and find out more about that. And thanks once more for joining us. Brilliant to talk with you.
Pleasure was mine, Trevor. Thank you.
Take care. So that's the end of our conversation today. And I'd just like to thank Nikki once again for joining us. I hope you found the podcast interesting. And if you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. If you want to see the interview, you can also find us on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel. And if you can also subscribe there, it would be great as it really helps out the channel. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.